It is 7:45 on a first Saturday of a brand new year. Good morning. Welcome to another Wine Chat with Ted Farrell from Haskell's. Ted, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Denny. Hopefully it was safe and fun and enjoyable.
Yes, and quiet, which is really good. I like quiet.
Well, you know, the funny thing is the older you get, the more you appreciate quiet, low-key, and, you know, not a lot of work, where we just hunkered down and watch a little football and watch those ball coverages, and everybody was kind of just sitting there in their pajamas, not doing anything. And
that's,
you know,
right.
In the business, we sometimes joke and say, you know, New Year's Eve is sort of the first amateur night of the year, where everybody goes out, loses control, and you're just better off to stay home and just have an enjoyable time with family and relax and take it easy.
That's exactly what we did, and that's always good to hang around family and friends. Well, what can we talk about today?
Well, what we'll talk about a little bit is sort of those New Year's wine resolutions that people should maybe take a look at and do. And the one thing, you know, there's so many different things, and usually it's this time of the year where everybody gives my industry up for at least a week or two. But, you know, that it's one of those wine resolutions that I would say, first and foremost, maybe go take a little inventory of the wines that you're collecting and then you keep around the house, just to kind of know where exactly you're at as far as what bottles you have, where they're from, etc., where you should go down and just take literally an old-time inventory of what you have, as far as figure out how many bottles you have, how many bottles of each type, where they're from, what their vintages are, and, you know, and more importantly, where they are from, but the vintages, to sit and kind of just see where you're at. And with that, you can do all kinds of things with that information. You can take a look, see at it, and especially with those vintages, and that's where, let's say, wine collecting becomes a little bit of the artisting rather than the science, as far as figuring out, well, maybe some of those wines I should be consuming. They could be 10 years old. They could be 15 years old. Maybe they're even a little bit younger. But sitting there and sizing up what those vintages are is really where you maybe want to get a move on your cellar. Now, there's great apps and charts and things like that to refer to say, well, the 2014 vintage is such, maybe I should drink it now, maybe I should hold it. And quite frankly, what you maybe ought to do is just open up one of those bottles and to see for yourself, because, you know, it's really your own opinion of what that, where that wine is and its aging, where that wine is in their nature, etc. But the whole idea behind it is to kind of open that up and take a look, see what's going on with those wines and get a move on, you know. And maybe, you know, the one thing that is always a little bit of a detriment when you do it, when you're collecting wine, is when you did age it too long and it's seen its day and it's past its prime, it still could be very enjoyable, but, you know, it's a little bit of a downside to it, you know. And with that, you might find a cork bottle, you might find a different thing, but it's really an important thing to go police up your entire cellar just to see what it is. Even if it's a simple wine rack in your kitchen, just to kind of know what you need, what you have. And then maybe you also want to kind of categorize some of the wine as far as, you know, your everyday drinking wine. So maybe you want to pick up a little bit more wine that's inexpensive that you have Monday through Friday, and you just enjoy it when you come home. You had a long day, you open it up, you don't have to think too much about it. Maybe you set up your cellar as well, as far as some of the wines that could be your weekend wine, you know, where you're doing a little bit bigger dinner, you know, it's some special wine, things like that, to sit down and go, okay, this is what I drink it. And then you have your big anniversaries and all that, those real, real special wines. But the whole idea is to get behind it and see exactly what you have. And the reason why you do that is see where you need to go to. And now when I say that, I mean, what you need to do is, well, where are there some holes in your winery, in your cellar? I mean, you know, are you overstocked with a lot of Napa Valley Cab? Do you not have enough Sonoma Pinot Noirs? Maybe you don't have any Burgundy at all. And that's where you'd really need to kind of maybe figure it out and say, hey, I need to have a little bit of an adventure and try some other things, some maybe bigger, bolder things. And that's one of, like, another resolution that I'd like to see people do is to maybe pick and select a certain region and become a wine expert yourself on that particular region. Whether you get as specific as getting down into a village like in Burgundy, Amore, Saint-Denis, or do you just go Napa Valley? And the whole idea behind that is to select those areas and to start consuming wines from those areas to kind of get a feel of the different terroirs and what the different expressions. Because, you know, you look around in California and Napa, there's so many different wineries, you know, one across from the street from another, and the variance can be quite great as far as just a dirt road between one vineyard and the next, and what a vibrant difference it is. But, you know, to select those areas, becoming your own wine expert, but then also do certain things as far as do a little bit of research and find out what is the local fare. So let's say you decide, well, I'm going to do Tuscany, and you're getting into those Chiantis and those Brunellos and things like that. Well, then you could also take it to the next level and research what the food and the cuisine is of that area. So you could sit and open up those bottles of wine where you do have some of those wild boar pastas that Tuscany's famous for. Maybe you get as exotic to find some of those great truffle dishes that they do, but you get into it. But then also kind of you can get real bookwormy about it. And as far as look into the history of those particular regions, because especially in Europe, those regions are so rich in history. They've been doing it for so long. But the interesting thing about it is you can understand your wine a little bit more because, you know, some country loses a battle with another country and then that wine is no longer available. And so they have to go find some other wines where that, you know, the English were notorious for their influence in and around Europe, where they might lose a battle with the French. They couldn't get the Bordeaux, so then all of a sudden they colonize parts of Portugal and they make wines. You know, there's all kinds of rich history in the Italian peninsula as far as which particular country or which city-state was influential of what area. And you really kind of get into the interesting parts of all that of the history of wine and the history of alcohol. I mean, as well, you have the different monasteries making those wines or alcohols as well. Some of them were tending to vineyards. So it's a very fun way to kind of open up your mind as far as picking an exact region. Again, like I say, going to Tuscany and then, you know, trying several different Chiantis and beginning to know what the Sangiovese grape is. And then you could always take a step up and then start trying those Brunello de Montalcino's and try those other things. And then, but like, you know, you pick a few recipes and do that, you know, and maybe you want to get as exotic as to hop on a plane and go visit that, but it just makes it that much more interesting of wine because, yes, we always say when you have an adventure in wine, all you need is a corkscrew, pull the cork and let the adventure begin, but there's so much more to it to doing that. So you can really become an expert on one of these regions. And, you know, you don't have to just take the whole year to do it. You could do it, you know, select a month and say, well, this month I'm going to look at the Loire Valley for a while and see what they have to offer. Then I'll try Bordeaux. But, you know, inside each of those areas, Bordeaux is such a massive area. And there's so many opportunities to try and, you know, explore where you can just focus on Pouillac or you can focus on Saint-Emilion. There's so many different areas inside all those regions to focus on. So really the world is your oyster as far as experimenting on that. And like we always said, Denny, you know, when it comes to wine, you need two things, an open mind and an open mouth. And, you know, you get into this and you can become the little local expert, you know, to sit and try those wines, get some research on it. And it's at your fingertips. Obviously the World Wide Web is out there. Hugh Johnson's old book, basically an atlas of wine, showing the history of wines and the different influence on that. Then it doesn't hurt either if you picked a certain region. You know, maybe it doesn't, you know, you go grab a Julia Child cookbook and find out some of those French beef bourguignons and things like that to sit and make coco vin where you're enjoying great burgundies. You know, so you're kind of getting immersed into it, where you're not just drinking the wine, you're actually kind of enjoying the culture all together. And that's the great thing about wine. It's so communal where you do that. So part of that resolution very well could be just to open up that bottle, select an area, you know, on the same note, go through your cellar, kind of clean it up, police it up, see where your holes are, as far as do I need a little bit more Chardonnay? Do I need a little bit of Sauvignon Blanc for daily consumption? Do I need to, you know, try a little bit of, maybe this year I'll decide I'll go down to Paso Robles and buy a lot of Cabernets because I love Cabernet, and I'm going to fill the cellar up with that. So it's just one of those great guidelines because, you know, it's cold outside. There's not much to do if you're not a big winter enthusiast. I would recommend going down into that cellar, kind of pruning it out, seeing what needs to move. That's the other side of taking a look at it. You might say, oh, my goodness gracious, I have a Nouveau Beaujolais from 3 years ago. I better, you know, open that up and consume it. You'd be surprised. It still could be quite good. You know, maybe you want to cook with it, but it's just getting that cellar kind of policed up and then moving forward as far as that adventure of selecting one of those areas, selecting a region, and just enjoy the wines that are offered. So that's what I would say, you know, a wine New Year's resolution is to see what you got, correct what you got, and go get some more.
And again, like you did, run into people every day, and I do too over the years talking about wine. Some people are still intimidated because maybe they feel, well, I don't know anything about wine. I'd like to try it, but they're a little nervous about that. So I guess you said it, you know, open mind, open mouth, give it a shot. You know, you don't have to rely on someone else's taste. This is all for you, right?
You are correct. You know, it can be very intimidating because there's so much to choose from. But, you know, years ago, we had a fellow that came over and stayed with our family for about 2 years. He was from the Bordeaux region. And ironically, the first time he ever tasted a Rhone wine or a Burgundy wine is coming with us and having it at our house, because when you're in Bordeaux at that time, all you drank was Bordeaux. He wasn't even exposed to the other regions of France, really. So, you know, he had to come to us to get an education on that. So, yes, it can be intimidating because there's so much out there. But quite frankly, it's all just a lot of grape juice that's fermented. That all is a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell you, you walk into any Haskell's, they're great folks. There's no intimidation there. They're the nicest people you're going to meet, and they're going to help you out with whatever your plans are, right?
You are correct, Eddie. We can guide you right through the world's vineyards right here in Minnesota as far as what we have to offer. There are lines from all around the world to have, and there's a Haskell's location to take care of that for you. We have a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with free parking on the weekend. We have a Haskell's in Minnetonka right across from the Ridgedale Shopping Center. There's a Haskell's in Highland Village right off of Ford Parkway. A Haskell's in Loban's Plaza right down in Bloomington. We have a Haskell's in right in downtown Excelsior if you want to stop by the lake. There's a Haskell's in White Bear Lake. There's a Haskell's in Stillwater if you're out east. There's also, if you're headed down south right off of 35, a Haskell's in Faribault. Haskell's in Plymouth and our super cellar up in Maple Grove, a sight to be seen. And if you can't hit up any of those, you know, you're hunkered down with this cold, stop by Haskell's.com 24/7, place your order, travel the vineyards of the world, and we'll even deliver it to you, Denny.
Absolutely, and it does work. Ted, thank you so much. Happy New Year again, and let's try this again next week.
I look forward to it, Denny. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Ted Farrell from Haskell's. Now, get those lawn and garden questions ready. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney will be on CCO Radio coming along next hour on a Smart Garden Show. Yeah, 16 degrees, and we're still going to be talking lawns and gardens. Maybe you got some green stuff, green and growing stuff for a Christmas gift. We can kind of help you keep it growing. Whatever your lawn and garden question is, that's happening next hour. In the meantime, we look for a high today of 21, dropping to 7 overnight. Freezing rain and sleet likely tomorrow. We'll get you details coming up. News Talk 830 WCCO.